If we have desire, then there's going to be suffering. There's no doubt about it. There is no comparison to the real truth. If it's not the real truth, we can fool people for a while, but not forever. The problem is there are a lot of stupid people, a lot of ignorant people, and that's normal. Most people are not smart enough or wise enough to understand the Buddha's teachings, and it was like this ever since the time of the Buddha. The Buddha didn't teach us to believe what he said. We have to get our own evidence. Stupid people either believe mindlessly or don't believe just because I don't believe it. But smart people don't believe things because they've seen the evidence, they've taken a look. So we have to see things in our own experience. In a Buddhist chant, it doesn't say, believe this, it says, come have a look, in a very gentle way. Come have a look and come back to oneself. Come know your own body and your own mind. And you'll get your own answers when you do so. So we practice seeing our body and our mind, and we'll get our own answers. Suffering will be less and shorter. When we're able to see, and we start to gain some powers, we'll be able to see the beauty and pureness of some of the great teachers. They look beautiful all the time, the teachers. So you'll see them as bright and beautiful, and you'll see that we're only beautiful when we put makeup on. The monks, they don't put on any makeup. They only eat once a day. They just wash their face sometimes, but they look beautiful. They don't get to eat what they want and where they want, not at their favorite bakery. Being a consumer in this world, buying expensive things, buying brand names, has no point, no purpose. Some people buy purses for thousands. No meaning at all, empty of meaning. It's even risky to have expensive things because they can get stolen or deteriorate. Let's get to know useful ways to use our money and income, not being an over-consumer, knowing how to save, knowing how to be happy with simple things, knowing how to help people. Some people don't know how to help and give donations, and they're just happy with looking at the numbers in their bank account. And that's a pity. So we have to know how to be sufficiency consumers, know how to use our money in wise ways, and know how to be with other people. Some parents force their kids to learn in special, expensive schools, making their kids really stressed. Sometimes for no point other than more suffering. Usually we can't find deep reasons for some of the things we do. We just trace it back to following defilements. Defilements only arise in one place, and then that is in our mind and heart. There are only three main defilements: greed, wanting things to come to us, and that stingy feeling, wanting to keep things. Then there's the aversion, where we want to push things away rather than have them come towards us. The greed is that wanting for things to come towards us and stay. And the aversion, a defilement, is all the different ways we try to get things that are there, to get them away, or the reaction to not wanting the things there. Do we want to hug the people that we're angry with when we're angry with them? Right? We want to. There's not a pulling towards, there's a pushing away. So greed is the pulling towards. The aversion or anger is the pushing away. And then there's the delusion, which is the third main category of defilements. And that's where we're in delusion. We're not doing things correctly. We're not seeing things correctly. We're lost. So there's just these three main categories of defilements. When we have the delusion, or moha, we don't know how our mind is. We don't see ourselves. So let's learn these three defilements, and our lives will improve, both in the way of the world and in the way of Dhamma. We won't be following the defilements with every action. Like wanting an expensive car and then wasting all kinds of money. Now there's monorails. He never was on the monorail. That's new for him. He used to take the bus when he would go to work. Remember, the more we have, as we collect more things as we get older, the more burdens we have. We have to learn to just live in such a way that is reasonable and simple enough and appropriate, and practice the Dhamma, not let the defilements make our choices for us. Mindfulness has purpose both for worldly reasons and for Dhamma reasons. We'll have better morality, we'll have more samadhi, and we'll be able to practice the way of wisdom. I teach it just about every day, how this is done. You can listen and learn to his recordings. When we have mindfulness, eventually we arrive at the Noble Path and the moment of enlightenment. Freedom arises. So let's keep practicing. It's very important. His teachers taught him that mindfulness is necessary in all places and at all times. It is a necessity, whether practicing Dhamma or practicing to be citizens of this world, from when we wake up in the morning until we go to bed. When we're sleeping, We don't need mindfulness because we don't have mindfulness when we're sleeping. We just let the mind rest. But as soon as we become aware, we need our mindfulness to start working. Let's keep practicing and our lives will improve greatly and there'll be a more profound type of happiness. Longpa, when he was a layperson, he had lots of worldly happiness. He had money. He didn't have to depend on a lottery winning. Who here thinks? Let's not think and hope that we're going to win the lottery. That's not going to be what makes us truly happy. Let's just save some money instead. Okay. It's time for the homework period. But it's the people in the temple who have the first right. And I'll let you know if you want to put up your number. He was teaching earlier that we have to learn to become mature and depend on ourselves. Longpa tries to help us in such a way that we can help ourselves, not just ask for Longpa and his assistant teachers to be answering questions and helping us all the time. That makes us weak. What happens when all the people that we attach to or cling to are gone? Let's not cling or depend on others. So we have to be mature and be able to rely on ourselves. Good trees, they don't rely on any other trees. They come right out of the soil on their own and become big and beautiful. So let's be one of those trees that grows up on our own, strong, and others can rely on us because of our strength. He's saying to the lady now, can you notice that your mind isn't normal and natural? It wants to be good. You don't want to be nervous. Don't resist it. If there's nerves, then there's nerves. Just have the mindfulness that sees it as it is. You don't have enough strength and power to the mind right now, so do some more peaceful meditation to give the mind more power. Can you feel the mind sort of spreading out? Doesn't really have the power to be within. Just breathe and say Bhutto in your mind. Breathe and say Bhutto in your mind. Forget about your wisdom practice for now and get some samadhi going. The mind doesn't have enough strength or energy to it. So practice some samatha to gain some power. The body and mind are opposites from each other. When the mind is still, it gains energy and power. But when the body moves and exercises and out there, it gets strong and gets power. They're opposites that way. The next person, can you see you're over-focusing? Now why are you focusing like that? You keep doing that because you can't control it, can you? Just take a look at the truth of it. See that you can't control it. You want to just relax out of focusing, but you can't. You can't seem to force it. It isn't us. See, you're listening to me, and then you're looking at me, and then you're off thinking. Notice how the mind's moving like that? So when the mind is hearing no-so, when it's seeing no-so, when it's thinking no-so. And then your morality, samadhi, and wisdom will become beautiful all on their own. Mindfulness is something that comes and goes in each moment. You can't keep it. Just see things as they are. You don't have to get too busy in any stories about what might have happened in your meditation experience. Just know as things are now. Mm-hmm. She's really stressed. Maybe you should make her sing a song first before she starts. She feels blessed to have this opportunity. He says she's starting to wake up. Keep practicing. We're very lucky in Thailand because we have lots of traffic, and so you get to listen to my CDs in the car, stuck in the car for so long. Your practice is fine, it's waking up. Can you see that the body and mind are two different things? Are you able to notice that? I think I can sometimes, she says. That's fine. Even seeing it once is a good step. We'll see that the body and mind are two different things. That means we're separating the khandhas. And then after that, we can start seeing the body and mind working as if it's watching somebody else. Watching as if it's somebody else, like it's somebody else's mind thinking, somebody else's body moving. It's much softer and easier when we see the mind angry as if it's somebody else's mind that's angry. It's much easier than when it's our mind angry.
I'm an angel practitioner in Canada, and I'm new to mindfulness. I do meditate, but I'm just wondering if you can offer any suggestions how I can improve my mindful meditation.
He says you have a nice voice.
ประมาณว่าเขาเป็นคนชอบเรื่องเทวดานะครับแล้วก็อยู่ชอบอยู่กับเทวดาแล้วเพิ่งเริ่มฝึกเจริญสติแล้วก็นั่งสมาธิบ้างมาอยากได้คำแนะนำจากหลวงพ่อครับ
เจอเทวดาทุกวันไ
หม Do you see Are you with angels every day
ก็ดีแล้วด
ี
กว่าเจอผี
It's better than being with ghosts every day.
แต่ดูเทวดานะเราก็ยังไม่ได้เป็นเทวดา
But we see the angels. We can see that we're not an angel yet.
เราจะสบายใจชั่วครั้งชั่วคราว
We'll just be happy for a short time when we're with them.
งั้นเราต้องมาฝึกตัวเองให้เป็นเทวดาให้ได
้ So we have to practice so that we are an angel too.
เทวดามีหลายชนิดนะในทางศาสนาพุทธ
There are many types of angels in Buddhism.
อย่างพระเจ้าแผ่นดินก็ถือเป็นเทวดาแบบหนึ่งเป็นเทวดาโดยสมมุติเอา
like the king of a or the owner of a land is like a type of angel that protects a land.
หรือเทวดาจริงๆที่เรามองเห็นเทวดาด้วยการเกิดมาเป็นเทวดา
And some beings were born as angels.
เทวดาที่ประเสริฐที่สุดนะเขาเรียกว่าวิสุทธิเทพวิสุทธิเทวดาวิสุทธิคือบริสุทธิ์อย่างยิ่งนะถ้าเมื่อไหร่จิตเราเข้าถึงความบริสุทธิ์นะเราก็เป็นเทวดาเหมือนกัน
The best type of angel are the ones that are the most pure and in Thai they calls it visuddhi the purest type of angels with a pure mind and so that's what we're practicing to be the purest type
ถ้าเราฝึกจนเราจิตเราบริสุทธิ์ได้จริงๆนะเทวดาชนิดอื่นก็ยังนับถือเลย
And when we practice to have our minds absolutely and completely pure, other angels will be respecting us.
วิธีที่จะฝึกให้จิตบริสุทธิ์นะก็คือรู้ทันจิตที่มีกิเลส
And the way to practice to have such a pure mind is to be able to see the mind and know the mind that has defilements in it when it does.
อย่างเวลาเราเห็นเทวดาแล้วเราดีใจเรารู้ทันว่าดีใจ
For example, if we see or feel angels and we feel pleased about it let's know that we are pleased
หรือบางวันเทวดาไปเที่ยวหมดเลยไม่เจอเราสงสัยว่าเทวดาหายไปไหนรู้ว่าสงสัย
or one day we want to be with the angels and we can't find them they've gone out on a vacation and we feel disappointed let's know that disappointment has arisen in the heart
คือคอยรู้ทันความรู้สึกของตัวเองไปเรื่อยๆนะกิเลสเนี่ยมันจะเข้ามาที่ใจไม่ได้ใจจะค่อยๆบริสุทธิ์มากขึ้น
So as we get familiar with seeing the defilements arising in our heart often then our mind becomes more and more pure the defilements can't take over the mind anymore
ถ้าทำอย่างนี้ได้นะแล้วกิเลสยังไม่หมดทีเดียวตายไปเราไปเป็นเทวดาเลย
And if we continue to practice in this way and seeing the defilements don't necessarily completely die off when the body dies, but we can die and then we become an angel immediately from practicing like this if there's no defilement in the mind at that point.
It's good to be an angel and want to be an angel because we'll have shame and not want to do anything wrong, anything sinful. She's been practicing for a while, but not consistently. And this is her first time submitting her homework. She practices jogging and watches her body jogging. When she was jogging, she saw a lizard jump out, and she got really scared, and she saw the fear. She also had to, when she was jogging, she almost stepped on it, and she saw this fear, the fear disappeared, and then she was able to avoid stepping on it and killing it, and then she felt so happy that the mindfulness even helped her to avoid causing any harm. So when you saw that fear arise, or that surprise arise, the mind separated out from the body. And that was good, but your problem is you're too stressed. Your practice is too stressful, and you need to learn how to not over-control, and having a mind that's stressed like this, you're trying to make the mind good all the time, mindful all the time. You have to be brave to let the mind be. It's hard to develop if we start our practice with a stressed mind. A stressed mind has aversion, the defilement of aversion in it. And why is the mind stressed? Because there's greed. We want things to be a certain way, and they're not being that way. So you're able to separate the aggregates, but that was just a temporary thing, and then when you start thinking again, they come back together again. She's asking how her meditation is. He says, do something. Let me see. Don't over-focus. You're pushing too hard, and delusion is coming in. Can you sense that there's a daze or a haze coming over you? At the beginning it was fine, but you started to force more and more as you continued. And there was too much strain and stress in it, and then you put yourself in a bit of a daze. So I should practice in a more relaxed way than this? And he's like, are you going to be able to? Give it a try. Just try to practice more in daily life. Try to see the reason why there's this stress and this forcing oneself. And you'll find that there's greed at the root of it. If you see the greed and the greed disappears, there won't be the stress following it. And she keeps thinking, so I have to do it this way, I shouldn't do it that way. You see, that creates stress. She doesn't practice much meditation, but she practices mindfulness all day as best she can. She sees sometimes friendly things when she goes to bed. Sometimes she'll see friendly things in her room. Sometimes she'll see unfriendly things in her room. But either way, she sends out loving kindness to them. And he says, that's good. That's the right thing to do. She's not happy with how dopey she gets before she sleeps and says, that's normal. Don't worry about it. She said she was going to sleep once and her mind went to see some beautiful places and beautiful states. And then I remembered your teachings. Come back and see yourself and your own reactions. You see, notice your mind just wants to keep talking and talking. Stop. Come back and feel yourself and see yourself. Everything that you thought about, even just a split second ago, was the past. Come back to the present moment. Don't let the mind go off, wandering off. It'll just keep going and going and going if we don't see it. Come back and feel. Last year, she was told by Longpa to notice the truth of non-self. And she said, I think I'm thinking about it too much, not seeing it. And he said, it's okay to think about it a little bit just to help your mind to actually see it, in her case. You see how your anger has reduced? Your mind is softer, gentler, and brighter. She's noticing movement at the center of the chest. He said, good, keep seeing in that way, but if it gets too suffering at the center of the chest and you can't handle it anymore, then do some samatha, calm your mind, give it more energy, and then keep watching again. Don't let the mind slip down into this movement. Just know when the mind is pleased or displeased, liking or disliking, what happens. Any defilements come up and see them and know them, but we're not just knowing and watching so that we can watch. We'll see the mind moving and changing and start to gain wisdom. 32 is next. Now that's a real practitioner that just sent in their homework. He's happy about her work. But a year or two ago, he said that she needed more samatha, more peaceful meditation. She feels like she's happier, deeper inside now. But I'm not sure, do I need more samatha still? She asks. She's a little worried about practicing too much meditation because when it goes well, she feels this big ego coming up that she's talented. Usually when we practice meditation, at one point we'll connect with what we've done in past lives, any of the practice that we did in past lives. 36. He said, I just have a short thing to say. I don't want to bother you too much. What should I do? What should I do next? He says he can see things coming up as himself, and he says that's good. You have to be honest with that and see the self coming up. Lopa asked, is your mind normally like it is now? Because the way that it is now, there's too much forcing and controlling. You have to let the mind be free and let it work the way it normally does. You see the mind isn't at the base. Good, you're able to see that. When the mind is at the base, when the mind is the stable mind, we can watch the workings of the mind. Can you see the mind moving this way and that way? Just know it and see it. Don't stop it. Just see it as it is. He said the practice has fallen for the last year or so. In truth, there isn't any depletion of the practice. The good mind comes up and it disappears. The bad mind comes up and it disappears. Each mind is it's a mental moment at a time. It's not one mind that's good for a while and then bad for a while. They're all different minds. Each moment is a different mind. One comes up, a mind that's progressing comes up and disappears. The mind that is depleting, or whatever the opposite of developing is.